Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
And so we hear of Jesus being born of the line of David, right? And since Joseph was in the line of David, he had to go back to Bethlehem for this census. And in the earlier masses, you all did not get to hear the genealogy of Jesus, okay? Now, some of you remember that gospel from the past, perhaps. Well, we go through the three sets of 14 names, right? And those names and this genealogy of David, they're very important, and they're important above all for this reason, because they root Jesus in human history, in the reality that Jesus is related to King David, who's related to Abraham and all of those people in between, and Jesus takes on that whole bloodline, the whole genealogy of humanity. And that's you and me too, by the way. And Jesus, who is holy, Jesus, who is the Son of God, takes on our genes, our family history, our skeletons in the closet, whatever it is, even generations in the past. Our Lord embraces all of those things and takes them to himself. And why does he do that? He takes on our humanity that we may receive from him the divinity of God. And we're going to get to that a little bit more in just a moment. A quick recap through the last few weeks of the Advent season. Remember, about 4 weeks ago, we started Advent, and I asked you all, those of you all that are regular here anyway, you remember this, and maybe you can remember wherever you went to church 4 weeks ago, that when we approach the Advent season, we look both ways, right? We look both ways. We look to the past and we look to the future. We look to the past, to Bethlehem, to see our Lord being born for us, that God has come in humility, born in the manger, born in a stable. And then we look to the future and we know that he's coming again in glory, right? Do you know that? Do you believe that? That's a fundamental teaching of the church, that our Lord is coming again in glory. And we're sitting right here, right now, at 11:23, waiting for God to come. When are you coming in glory? Some of you are thinking, wait till after the playoffs. The Saints are doing real good, you know? No, I promise you that if the Lord is going to come in glory, you would rather have him come now, you know? It's better than the playoffs, better than the Super Bowl, okay? So we're waiting, anticipating. I hope you are. I truly do hope that you are hoping and looking forward to the glory of God coming, tearing the heavens and coming down. So we look both ways, to the past, to his birth, and to the future. And then the next week I talked about making straight the way. Remember, we have to pull down the mountains of our sin, fill in the valley of our vices, and make level the way, fill in the potholes of life, so that God has a path to travel, to come to us, preparing our hearts for the coming of God. And then the third week, we talked about the joys of life. Rejoice! I say it again, rejoice! That even in darkness, even in the most difficult seasons of our lives, we're supposed to be a people of joy. And we should be able to find the joys in life, like a birthday or a raise or a promotion or graduation, first communion, a good meal, a family gathering, the blue ribbon, a wedding, good news from the doctor, a glass of wine with family and friends, winning the game, getting into the playoffs, all of those things, right? The joys of life. But that's not what we're here to celebrate, is it? No, we're here to celebrate something better than all of that. And that is the birth of our Savior. The joy above all other joys. And then last Sunday, we became aware of. We talked about the blessedness of Mary. Blessed are you among women. And why was she blessed? She was blessed because she did the will of God. And that's our calling, to know and to do the will of God, that blessedness. Now, Jesus was born, our Savior, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, right? We believe that, right? Yes, this is the Christmas story. And now I've asked you before, and I'm going to ask you again tonight, why did he come? And I know there's lots of good reasons, okay? Lots of good reasons, lots of good answers. Why did he come? And maybe you think about it. He came to save us from our sins. He came us to teach us how to pray the Our Father. He came to show us the way. He came to tell us the truth. All of these things are all right answers. You know, there's so many right answers to that question, why did he come? I want to write a book about it. I really do want to write a book about it. Why did he come? You know, all of the reasons that I gave just a moment ago, they don't begin to scratch the surface of the biggest and the most beautiful reason that he came. He came to give us more than we could ask for. You know, somebody asked me, honest to goodness, and I'm not trying to sound pious, I'm not trying to sound holy, I'm not trying to just give an answer maybe a priest is supposed to give, but this is really and truly the first thought that came to my mind. Somebody asked me before Mass, before the 4 o'clock Mass, they said, Father Mike, what do you want for Christmas? And immediately the thought that came to my mind, what do I want for Christmas? What do I want? I want the salvation of souls. You know, and I want the salvation of my own soul. And the salvation of souls. You know, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want from God? Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? You know, a few years ago, quite a few years ago, probably 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, there was a rather famous singer, and she had a kind of famous song, and it was by a lady named Janis Joplin. Some of you have heard of Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin sung a song, and it was sarcastically praying to God. It was kind of mocking Christians a little bit. And she says, Lord, why don't you give me a Mercedes-Benz, right? My friends are all driving Porsches. I need to make amends. Lord, why don't you give me a Mercedes-Benz? And then after that, give me a color TV. And then after that, a night on the town. And you buy another round. Lord, why don't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? What do you want from God? What do you really, why did he come? And what's he going to give us? You think about that question. You know, a few years ago, a story about a missionary priest down in Peru. He tells a story of, and if you've ever been to a third world country, this is not an unusual scene. A missionary priest down in Peru. And he said he watched one day, he knew a little girl that used to sell candies and cookies. And if you've been to Mexico, you've been to some other places, you'll see the kids selling the candies and things on the street. Well, anyway, he knew this little girl, Juanita, and there she was selling her candies. And one day, someone pulled up in a car, nice car, and got out of the car, and she was happy that here she's going to make a sale. So she went over to say, hey, buy some of these candies. Person got out of the car and went around the back of the car and opened the trunk and got out a beautiful doll, more than this little girl Juanita could ever buy, ever hope to get, and gave this doll to this little girl. And the priest said he just watched her face light up, more than she wanted, more than she was asking for. You know, when we think about what it is that we want from God, or why did Jesus come, I'm here to tell you, it's more than you're asking for. It's more than a Mercedes-Benz. I promise you. You see, the reason that Jesus came He came to take our humanity. He came to take our DNA. He came to take our genes. He came to take our bloodline and all the sins that have ever been committed in the world or by us and take them on himself and give us a share in the life of God. Did you know that? Have you ever thought of that? That God wants you to participate in the very life of God, to be drawn into the Trinity. Now you're thinking, Father Mike, give me a Mercedes-Benz. And I'm saying, see, you just miss it. You don't get it. You can't get it. It's beyond you, and it's beyond me too. St. Paul says this, God wants to give us more than we can ask or even imagine. And I think to myself, I have a good imagination. So we ponder this gift of God, the grandeur of the universe, the incredible size of our universe is just a tiny reflection of the bigness of God. And God wants us to share in his very life, in his very love. Dearly beloved, today our Savior is born. Let us rejoice. Sadness has no place on this day. The fear of death is swallowed up, and the life of God brings us joy with a promise of eternal happiness. How long is eternity? Okay? It's a long, more than you can ask or imagine. Okay? It's much better than a Mercedes-Benz. That's what it is. The eternal life. Our Savior is victor over sin and death, seeing the earth and finding no one free of sin. He has come down to us. Let the sinner be glad and receive forgiveness. Let the saint rejoice. In the fullness of time, God in his wisdom has visited man, taken on himself our humanity. He came to overthrow the devil, the origin of death, that by very nature had overthrown us. To cast out death. By the birth of the Lord, the angels sing glory to God in the highest. And when the angels on high are so exultant at God's goodness, they sing for joy, and that joy should enter into us. Beloved Christians, my brother and sisters in Christ, you bear the name Christian. Are you a Christian? Another Christ anointed by the power of God? Christian, remember your dignity and that you are called to share in God's own life. Bear in mind whose you are and whose life you were given when you were reborn in baptism. Through the sacrament, you have become a temple of the Holy Spirit, a dwelling place of the life of God. Is that what you wanted? I hope a little bit, because that's what God comes to give us. But I'm afraid far too many people ask far too little of God. They ask far too little of God, thinking much too small when he has so much for us, so very much. So our Lord was born in the city of Bethlehem. Anybody here remember what Bethlehem means? Now, this was part of last Christmas's homily too, okay? See, I gave you these answers last year. Now, I have a few people looking at their shoes now. All right, so what does Bethlehem mean? It means the house of bread. And so our Lord was born in the house of bread. And then he was laid in a manger. And what is a manger? What's a manger? A manger is a trough. It's the food trough for the animals. So he's born in a house of bread and laid in a trough. And then he declares himself the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give is my life. And then at the Last Supper, he says, Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of God. The life of God given to us, that we would share in the very being of God. This is why Jesus came, that we could share in the life of God. Don't ask for too little. Ask for all of it. Ask for everything. By silence and by meditation, by life in Christ, prepare yourself to receive the greatest gift you can imagine, more than you can ask or imagine. Don't settle. Don't settle for anything less. Christian, on this day, remember your dignity and that you are called to share in God's own life. Do not return to sin. Do not return to your former condition, but bear in mind whose child you are and whose family you belong to.